Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
We got to do something with the European soccer.
I agree.
We need to have Ents on. We need Ents' picks. And then and we'll praise him. Well, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe we have Ents versus Chase. They'll both make a compelling case, and then we'll choose on our own who we want to bet.
I like that.
So, Ents, if you're listening, I don't know what you're doing the next couple hours, but
I'm siding with Chase.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, yeah, I am too. I'd like to make it seem like we were going to consider both, but you know, I think
without even hearing the argument.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That sound, Tanner, did you know that sound was coming up? I didn't know there was an Ents versus Chase soccer bet competition coming up.
I'm here for it.
I am here for it. Let's go.
And I'm going with my fellow producer, Chase.
You're going with Chase?
Wow.
Man, am I the only one that's going to have to back Ents on this?
No, I'll back Ents.
All right, you want to back Ents?
Yes.
Okay, you
I don't
Drew,
know what we're talking about, but yeah, I'm backing Ents.
We're going to back Ents. It's supposedly some soccer bet because Chase is a soccer guy. He played soccer at Center College, and Ents is just a soccer fan. But he does betting. He writes about betting. He's supposedly an expert. So once we get this set up, you and I will be Team Ents. Everybody else can be Team Chase.
I just know, I think it was Belgium got screwed today to Slovakia because it was like a quick goal in the beginning by Slovakia. It was 1-0, and then three goals for Belgium got taken off.
Three?
And I know very little about soccer, but I know more about the international teams, and I know Belgium's like kinda good, and also Slovakia, I only can think of hockey players and like Nikola Jokic. So
yeah,
there's
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there like, you go. Yeah, Jokic.
So I kinda thought that was embarrassing for Belgium. But
yeah, three goals getting taken off. I've got to figure out what this bet is because I gotta get on this. All right, thank you to Chick-fil-A for dropping lunch off today. Need a simple dinner for your family? Try catering from Chick-fil-A Stony Brook or Chick-fil-A Bardstown Road. From Chick-fil-A nuggets, mac and cheese. Enjoy a variety of tray options, size perfectly for your crew. Order through the Chick-fil-A app and we'll have some dinner ready in no time. Chick-fil-A Stony Brook and Chick-fil-A Bardstown Road, the best source for your catering needs. Order requirements may vary. See restaurant for details. It's Roundtable here, ESPN 680 1057. James Strebel, Max Godby, Tanner Brutomesso in today. Now, before we got back on air, Max, you're watching a Mark Pope video, okay? So he's like, they're gearing up now. Everyone's on campus. They had like a Father's Day camp this weekend, which a friend of mine was at. The first of all time. No one's ever done that before. A friend of mine was at. There's an article because Mark Pope talked about how he is unlike any other coach that's been at Kentucky before because he's a fan. He said the following, quote, "I am a fan. I'm the same as the person that I just signed their hat. I love this place. I love cheering for Kentucky. That's the way I feel," Pope told BBN Tonight at UK's Club Blue NIL event at All Tech Arena at Lexington on Saturday. I'm living and dying by every guy we sign and every person we recruit and every play that we make and every practice we have in the same way that every single other member of BBN is. That's the natural part of this. It's like we're all in this together. We all love this place. We're all trying to compete together. We all need each other. And I'm telling you, that's why Kentucky is different than everywhere else in the sport. There's some places in professional sports that might approximate what Kentucky basketball is, but there's nobody that actually compares, and certainly there's not at the college level. So being a part of that is really special, end quote. So there's that. Now, you're watching a video, Max, of Mark Pope talking to his team, and you said something interesting to me. What was that?
It's like he didn't yell.
Yeah.
Like it, I mean, again, not every coach has to yell. And again, he's on video, so he's probably he's mic'd up.
Yeah.
Coaches aren't going to really show their true style when they're mic'd up. But it was just it's more of kind of just a not soft spoken, but more of teaching.
Yes.
More of teaching.
He's a teacher of the game. So what do you think about that approach? Have you ever had a football coach that was like that? I feel like if you're going to have a coach that is more of like, quote, teacher than a yeller, it's going to be in a sport like basketball or baseball. I feel like football, kind of like a football coach, you have to be kind of crazy.
I feel like the best coaches I've been around have been ones that when you're on the field,
mm-hmm.
they treat it like a life and death situation. So when you are wrong, when you're wrong on the field, you do a misassignment, it's a bad play, it's a lazy play,
mm-hmm.
you're confronted right there.
Right.
Confronted right there. And basically that is worked out of you instantly.
Immediately.
Exactly. It's like that's not acceptable type of play. Once you get into the film room, though, you're not beating a dead horse. At that point, it's the teaching at that point.
Okay.
So you see when you were doing a counter pull to take out the defensive end, and you hit him on his outside shoulder, that's going to allow him to be able to wash in
mm-hmm.
and be able to hit the running back because you've basically just pushed him right into the gap at that point.
Sure.
That it's a good teaching thing because there it's okay. How do I show them why this is wrong?
Right.
When you're on the field, it's telling them. During practice, it's telling them that's wrong. Don't do that.
Right.
Once you're inside. And I think it also goes to the relationship of the coach. Because I as a player, I liked when a coach was extremely high tempo and there's urgency. And if I'm not matching his level of urgency, I need someone to kick me in the rear to take me
to that next level.
To take me to that level of urgency to understand what the situation is. But I got to know that as a coach that you care for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you see some of the best coaches, like the people that say that, you know, I love him as a coach and all that. And you see the videos of them. They're going berserk on a player.
Yeah.
That is, it's either they don't respect him at all, or there's that balance. There's that balance of trust. There's that balance of love. And then it's the commitment that I'm going to make you a better player.
Right.
That's why. Because Summers would destroy me. Just straight up destroy me. I mean, when he moved me from guard to center and calling plays, like every single time I called a play, like he would stop practice to go out and berate me on how I was calling the play. You're taking too long. Speed it up. Taking too long. Speed it up. Guess what? Delay a game. It's your fault. Do it again.
Wow.
And so, again, we were talking about that process of walking through everything. You've got to go quick. You got to go fast. You got to get the call in now because what if we have to make adjustments?
Sure.
And if a player, another offensive lineman, messed up, it ultimately came down to did you put them in the right position to be able to to play?
And more so than any other sport. I mean, your screw up yes might hurt.
Exactly.
I mean, oh the my thing gosh, is, like, yes. if you miss an assignment or you block the wrong way, like you're talking about the defensive end, I mean, you're going to get somebody hurt. There's some things like that in basketball. For instance, Oscar Tshiebwe was notoriously terrible about calling out screens. So, you know, you're playing basketball, it's like screen, 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 screen. to make the other player aware so they're at least looking and have their head on a swivel. But there were multiple times when Oscar wouldn't call out the screen and some of the Kentucky players were just essentially beheaded. I mean, Sevier Wheeler got put out of a game. I think Cason Wallace got hit a few times pretty hard. But in basketball, those are few and far between. In football, so almost every single play, there's a chance if you screw it up and you do the wrong thing, you can get yourself or somebody on your team seriously injured. And I think that's the reason why in football it's so much more of an urgency in situations like that, because you're not just worried about yourself. People's health are on the line here.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. Because if a play goes south really quickly, you're absolutely right, because it could cost someone. I think I've said it on air before, but I took a linebacker. Linebacker kind of did a late add-on blitz, and I was completely out of body position to be able to go through my proper protocol, which is when you kick set, you see someone coming, you go and you post set. You take your play side foot, you take it up, and you post, and attack them with that upward hip.
Yeah.
But I wasn't able to do that because I was so out of place, because I allowed the pass protection to lull me so far left that I had to turn my hips and run. And I had to treat it like a run play at that point. So I grabbed this linebacker, torque him, and just drive him. Oh. But when I did, I drove him right into the back of Trevino Woods,
who
was playing tackle. And because of it, he sprained his ankle that game.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So,
but it was because of me. It was because of me, because I was out of position.
Yeah.
And I tried to rally to stop it. I got one of my teammates hurt in the process of it. And you're right. There is no worse feeling on the planet of that, because it was, especially Trevino. Trevino is my closest friend.
Right.
He's the best man at my wedding.
Yeah.
Even after that. And to do that to another teammate, it makes you feel just 2 feet tall at that
point. Yeah, absolutely, because you're like, man, they're hurt, they're limited, they could be missing out on games because of me.
Exactly.
Because of my mistake. Now, speaking of bad teammates, this story today. All right, it happened over the weekend. Let's see here. What is happening? Colorado players don't seem happy that Deion Sanders is not related to football. A source has claimed the Colorado Buffaloes head coach forced his players to attend the Lil Wayne concert during prime weekend. Why would Sanders do something like this? It seems his purported intention was to make his players attend the concert to support Shadur as a rapper who opened with his new song, Perfect Timing. Coach Prime has flatly denied the allegations, saying they're lies. Among the defenders is Colorado Buffs governor Camden Dempsey, who is confident enough to testify to the rumor's falsity. Dempsey expressed his thoughts on a post concerning Coach Prime's supposed manipulation of his players. He wrote, "Yeah, all I can say is this is 100% false. We were never forced to go to this concert. We are a team that supports all of our players, but this is just crazy. Might want to find a better source." So there you go. So ever since that dream start to the season for Colorado, where they immediately eclipsed the previous season's win total, you win 4 in a row, you knock off a couple ranked teams, you're feeling pretty good about yourselves. The rest of the season was complete utter trash. Start off with getting dog walked by Oregon after they stepped on the O and did all that stuff. It's just been story after story in Colorado about how Deion Sanders' program is basically, you know, not coming apart at the seams, but there's fraying at the seams right now when it comes to Colorado. It's very interesting how it went from Deion's great, Deion's the best, to what the hell is Deion doing?
There's a balance. There is a balance of a personality of a team and then having consistency within the team.
Yeah.
And I think for the longest time, Stoops had come up with a great example of that. I think he's kind of gotten away of that, of being able to say, this is a disciplined team. We're going to provide consistency as coaches.
I agree
again,
with that.
It's talking about those boundaries that you set for coaches and for players. And until recently, I think UK had done a really good job of it. It's kind of up in
last
the
couple
air.
Seasons have been penalty filled.
Exactly.
And like you said, that discipline that Mark Stoops always talked about had just, not been apparent.
Yeah, and also off the field
stuff too.
It's
yeah.
just been
yeah, I agree.
From
yeah.
players and coaches.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But you look at like an Iowa. And Iowa is always a very disciplined team, very vanilla.
Yeah.
But how much like care, and I don't mean character like good standing, I mean how much personality does that team actually have?
None. They have no personality
exactly.
at all.
Exactly. So it's you look at these teams where coaches will really lean in. Oregon, I think Oregon's a great example. Mm. They've got personality.
Yeah, they do.
They've got a swagger about them, but they're also a very disciplined football team.
Very good football team.
Coaches are very disciplined in their play calling mm-hmm. as well. So I, as a coach, you've got to be able to do both. And I think another thing is the coach cannot be a part of that personality. I think that's a major aspect
of it.
That's
a great point, too.
You look at the Nick Sabans. Nick Saban's personality during football season is that of a wet blanket.
Yeah,
he's not going to be the guy that's going to be out and starts wear a cowboy hat for one.
Right.
He's not going to do that.
And he's not going to provide any sound bites either.
No.
He's going to say the most, like you said, vanilla thing possible after the game, and he's not going to let you know what his real emotions are about anything.
Right, and then also. I think as well, you look at like even like a Jim Harbaugh. It's like he was a character of himself, but it wasn't because of marketing. It was just because he was weird.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with the team either.
Exactly.
Like the team, that was just him.
But it
didn't rub off on the team.
Right. Well, it did to an extent, though, because when he got suspended, that team rallied around him.
They loved him.
Around him. And that team. I hate to admit it, and I'm sorry, Zach, but Michigan was fun to watch.
They were fun. They were good.
Michigan was fun to watch.
Yeah.
A lot of fun, a lot of high energy. You've got to be able to provide both as a head coach. You could provide and allow your players to have an avenue for their personality, but you've also got to be able to provide. I think another great example is Calipari.
Yeah,
and you could see how much the team's discipline diminished
as his behavior became more erratic,
exactly,
and combative. That you're exactly right about that. I mean, he had that was the most locked up basketball program in the country when he first. I mean, nothing got out.
Nothing
got out. And he was very measured in what he said. He had fun. He had a sound bites and everything. But
and he always had that personality, though. It is kind of a separate of Cal and UK.
Yes.
He even had the Coach Cal website over the UK website.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, CoachCal.com.
He did a great job branding himself.
Yeah.
But the last 5 years, it was...
It intermingled into the locker room more than it ever had before. Now, with Shedeur Sanders rapping, okay, did you have any teammates yourself that had or singers or performers or actors or anything that you guys went out and supported?
They're just trying to be Miami, huh?
I think they are. Yeah, Miami. I think everyone on Miami's team rapped. I think
that seventh floor song goes hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
When like a couple final years of playing, SoundCloud was just coming out.
SoundCloud. There you go.
A lot of teammates had their own mixtapes and their own rap singles.
I had that in high school. Our starting goalie, Cash Khan, baby. Xander Khan, but his name was Cash Khan. He was awful.
Bud Dupree had one. Michael Horton had one. I never went because it really wasn't, kind of my place to go
Yo,
to.
Yo, Godby,
not your
bust
scene.
One real quick.
Exactly. A battle rap with Max
exactly.
Godby. Yeah.
When guys would go out and start doing like shows on the side, like, you know who we really need to get out there? Max Godby.
Right. That's what the people want. The college town of Lexington.
Max knows all the hot spots.
Right.
For the rap and underground rap industry.
He has his finger on the pulse.
Someone actually
hung out
pretty,
with T Grizzly.
Someone that actually went really was like doing like somewhat well after school was Corey Johnson, also known as Poop Johnson.
Yeah. Really? So he was actually kind of like his, a mild fame.
At least he had a few music videos. I saw a few music videos pop up on Facebook. And one, have you ever heard that story?
No.
His first interview, he was a JUCO. He came in his junior year, my senior year, and they were talking about, you know, because he was a 300-plus pound defensive lineman.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
But he was lean. Like, this dude was able to do 15, 20 pull-ups. But he would also wear a 45-pound plate belt.
Oh my gosh!
Him. Like, the dude's strength was next level.
Yeah,
he had the speed to back it up. But he was so funny, just so funny. His first ever interview. Someone asked, you know, how's it getting used to? How's the weight plan going?
Yeah.
Because they were trying to get a little bit more weight on him.
Yeah.
He goes, man, it's going great. He goes, they've been stuffing all this food down my stomach that I've had to go poop like 4 or 5 times a day.
So he did an interview?
First interview. Jimmy Kimmel had it on. Look it up. Look up Corey Johnson, poop Jimmy Kimmel.
I'm going to have to find this. I had to play it during the break.
And then he wasn't allowed to do interviews after that.
This dude's like, all right.
Tony Neely took him off after that.
Tony was like, all right, enough out of you. Oh, yeah. Yep. Diener just texted, Google Alan Cutler poop Johnson.
It's Alan Cutler.
Of course it was the cut man that
Alan
did that.
Alan Cutler asked all the, you know, the tough,
the hard-hitting questions. Now, was there ever a teammate that was like rapping or whatever, or again, singing, you didn't have to be, or acting or whatever it was, and then someone was just honest with them, like, you need to stop. This sucks. Like, you're really bad at this. Were there any uncomfortable conversations in the locker room about how bad the rap was?
No, I mean, it's weird because the dynamic in a locker room is like, if you were to try to have conversations in a locker room like you would like out in like public,
yeah,
like it's because you're able to be very open and honest with people.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So there was a rule with, because everyone would rap, basically rap played Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday,
okay,
and Saturday. Wednesdays was called White Boy Wednesday, to where all the white people were handed the ox cord. Probably asked Justin Jeffries as well to confirm if Justin Jeffries,
did you have White Boy Wednesday when you were there?
Was White Boy Wednesday a thing white while you Boy were there? Wednesday. And we were able to play country that day. And it was the funniest thing because it was just like, it was just always. And Meek Mill was huge then, Rick Ross.
Right.
And I think I had like one rap song on my iPad or my iPod. My iPod, yes.
Yeah, this is back in the iPod days, yeah.
On my iPod before I got to UK. And now there's like 75, 90 rap songs on my iPhone now. And, I don't know. You were just constantly around everyone rapping.
Right.
And all the offensive lineman would then just start singing George Strait.
Oh, nice. Yes. It takes my tractor sexy.
Oh, yeah. Well, mine, because I was so old school.
Who would you sing?
Oh, Johnny Cash. Oh, it was Stephen Colbert. Okay, sorry.
But it was also Jimmy Kimmel, too. Diener just texted me the actual article about it right now. Jimmy Kimmel featured the video in his late night show. Okay, let's go ahead. Let's play the Stephen Colbert edition.
In sports news, the Canadian Football League has announced, and let me pause right there. First of all, there is a Canadian Football League. And
so this
cheerleaders
is
are
after
here tonight,
his
evidently.
Time in UK. He played in CFL.
Well, they've announced something, specifically that a defensive tackle with the actual name Poop Johnson has signed to play with the Toronto Argonauts. And where did Poop get his nickname? The answer will make you say, yeah, that makes sense. You see, a defensive tackle needs to stay heavy. And when asked about his weight by sports reporters, Johnson once said he can weigh anywhere from 280 to 300 pounds, depending on the day. How Well, I guess because I poop so much.
That's bad. And the actual quote, Diener sent the quote from the article. It says here, veteran TV reporter Alan Cutler suggested the variations might be based on what Johnson ate each day. Johnson had a different theory. Quote, I guess it's because I poop so much. I try to poop like 5 times a day, 3 times a day. It's hard to keep weight when you've got so much going on. Old Poop Johnson.
I don't know. I think it's working out in my favor because, you know, I'm starting to look a little slim. You know what I'm saying? So I guess, and when I got a lot of shit on my mind, I can just go ahead and poop it all out. I ain't got to worry about it. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. He's great.
Dude, Brimbaugh, who is the defensive line coach, gosh, he was so mad.
He got mad at him for that?
DJ Elliott was so mad at
DJ Elliott.
Oh, my gosh.
Where did he end up?
He was at Kansas for a minute.
Was he? I don't know. I just remember there was a the defenses under him were so bad. So bad.
Not as bad with Rick Mentor, though.
Not that bad.
It
wasn't Rick Mentor bad, but they were bad. I mean, that was Stoops' guy. Like, he was like going to make him like the up and coming star on that staff as far as defense.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
There was one Twitter user that sent him a bag of D's. Like, they were, like, apparently, like, gummies or something. Like, bag of D words. He, like, literally sent it to his house.
There have been a lot of coaches that I don't like. I never would have invested the shipping and to buy something.
Yeah.
Just to send it to their house.
No, I wouldn't either.
I don't have the commitment at that level. I'm too much of a penny pincher.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, I'm not sending anybody anything, especially someone I don't like. All right, let's read some text. Texter, if there is a UK 7th Floor song and Max is on there dropping bars, I would die. Texter, and to thank Rig, I was told I was insane for not wanting Coach Prime at Louisville. Texter, did Pope say, I need you in KP fashion? He's like, I need you. No, I don't think so. Texter, where's the fart noises after eating hot dogs? We're not gassy. They're non-gassy hot dogs. Texter, the Pope camp was so much better than the Cal camp in so many different ways. All right, so
I can imagine, because I feel like Pope was much more intentional in it than Cal was.
Well, here's what my friend sent me. Okay, he went with his son. And here it is. Okay, he said the following. He said, the father-daughter camp today, man, every single player is just a good kid. So respectful and mature. They really seem to already get along. The Pope girls are amazing, and his wife is really nice and down to earth. And Pope is just a very cool and nice dude. Just a completely different culture. Okay, and he really liked Kirk Carissa. He said he talked a lot of junk, but he's like, it's basically, it just has a different feel to
right.
it than when Calipari was there.
I'm telling you, in college athletics, it is, you could tell a huge difference by how much the wife and the kids are involved with the program.
Yeah, sure.
You could tell such a difference. Is it that not just from a head coaching perspective, but also from a position coach perspective? Mm-hmm. When the wives and the kids are around, and you get so much more of a family vibe, and I think you get a better product on the field because of it.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
I remember when Stoops first got there, that's when we started doing meals on, like, Wednesday. It was either Wednesdays or Thursdays. I can't remember. And they would have, like, catering come in and do a meal for us outside of our training table. And the wives and the kids were there every single time. So you're out there. I remember going out there and playing with Schlar's kids and snapping a football with them or going over to the tackling dummies. And it was just a very cool environment that we really didn't have when Joker was there.
Yeah.
I mean, Summers, his wife, Miss Kathy, was there all the time. And she made us little goodie bags, and anytime it was your birthday, you got like a special like cookie or brownie for your birthday. Yeah, it's Miss Kathy's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, just awesome. She made the best buffalo chicken dip on the planet.
I love buffalo chicken dip. It's my favorite dip.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time we have a reunion, she makes that dip.
Oh, hell yeah. So she knows her audience. She knows. She knows what the players want.
Yes.
Texter, honk, honk. There we go. The BB and honk text.
Oh, yeah.
Texter, would you prefer a pro program or a family-oriented program? Because I want national championships. Sorry, it's just the truth. Hey, if you can get both, it'd be even better.
If you get both, it's great.
Yeah, if you get both, it's great. Absolutely.
I mean, you look at Nick Saban and how much Miss Terry's involved with the program. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah, it worked out fine. Texter, but LMA brownies for the guys, right? LOL. Texter, good kids from good families. LOL. Texter, sweet summertime sports radio. Poop Johnson. LMAO. Texter, I make the best buffalo chicken dip. We'll bring you by the studio. We'll judge.
Yes.
We'll judge you. If you make the best buffalo chicken dip, we'll be the judge of it. Tanner will like some. Max and I will critique it on air.
We've shown that we've done basically an ESPN chop. So it's
we did.
Yeah. So
I think that went over very well, too.
Yes. Can we make that in our summer segment?
We can actually make that a summer. We'd have listeners bring us food.
We'll be the judge of it.
We'll be the judge of it. Bring your next week buffalo chicken dip on Monday. Bring it, and we'll judge it for you here live on air on ESPN Mobile.
You have to stand in the studio while we deconstruct it.
Exactly.
I'm very Simon Cowell-like, so I will make you cry if it's not that good.
Yeah, there you go. If it sucks, Tanner's going to tell
you
it sucks.
Also, Strebel's not kidding. Because I really want this.
I know. I want this buffalo chicken dip. I'm not kidding at all. I'm dead serious. If you want to bring it by the studio and prove you have the best buffalo chicken dip, by all means, bring it on. All right. After the break, Max's O-Lineman School. We'll get back to that as our weekly Monday segment goes on. Texter poops for stoops. And we have more to cover throughout the show. If you need security, Sonatrol of Louisville is the number one security company in Kentucky with over 355 star reviews on Google. Locally owned and operated, family operated, for over 35 years. Sonatrol of Louisville has a team of local experts who will work with you from telling your system to your business or your home needs, and they'll come out and service your system down the road if you need an upgrade or a fix or anything like that. They'll come out there and do it themselves for you. Check them out on sonatrolky.com. Call them 502-966-8999 for your home or company security needs. They also do cameras, badge access, fire monitoring. You do it all from your phone because it's the 21st century. You should be able to. sonatrolky.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Slave camps in Africa?
Welcome back to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
I didn't pick that.
Neither of us did.
I picked that song. Great song, little Bone Thugs and Harmony on the radio on a Monday. Now I'm thrown off.
Oh gosh.
Nobody wants to be associated with that. Like, I'm gonna read some play-by-play stuff or whatever, but we're gonna move right along. It's the round table on a Monday.
Just want everyone to know that was not my decision.
that was not Tanner, that was not Max, that was not me, that was James. He's not here, we're gonna throw him under the bus. For that. I don't even want to know the context. I don't know anything. I'm going to move on. All right. It's Monday. That means that Max Godby, we need to get some sounds for this or some imaging or something, since we're going to make this a weekly a weekly segment as Max goes through his O-line school with us. Now, last week, Max, we talked about reads, like the center making reads on the defense as soon as immediately as they go up to the line.
Pre-snap recognition.
Pre-snap recognition. So pre-snap recognition was last week. Talked to the Mike linebacker where he's lined up. That matters a great deal of the feet of the secondary. If their feet are set or if they're cocked a little bit, you know if they're going to blitz. So just a little recap of what we did last week. All right, this week, Max, what is our topic?
Our topic right now is recognizing defensive stunts. So we're still in pre-snap recognition.
Okay.
And we talked about, you know, based on linebacker alignment or how a cornerback is in their stance, mm-hmm. where their feet are. Now we're going to talk about the defensive front because, again, you've got to block those guys up front first before you can even worry about what linebackers are
doing.
Get
up to the next level, right.
Exactly.
Right.
So, to keep things simple, this is what we're going to do today.
Okay.
We talked about a 4-2 defense last week. Oh, nice.
Man, oh, some NFL music.
There we
go.
So, we're going to stay with a 4-2 defense. So, if you're at home, get a piece of paper in front of you and go ahead and write it out. Do a square and then two circles on each side.
Right, I'm going to do this, right. Actually. We're doing this. All right, so I'm going to do a square.
Square. Okay. Circle, 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 circle.
Circle, 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 circle.
And,
okay.
And then on the right side, add a tight end. So just put TE on the last circle.
Okay, on the right.
Right.
Upper right hand?
No, just lined up just like this. Here, I'm going to show it to you.
Show me what you have.
I'm going to show it to you right there.
Okay, gotcha. Yes. Okay.
So onto the right side, we are going
tight
to
end.
Add
okay.
a tackle.
Okay.
A defensive tackle. Right on the inside shoulder of the right guard.
Okay, so are you using the X's here for that?
Or you can use an X, yeah.
I'm X using
is fine.
X. All right.
I use shoulder
of the right guard. Gotcha.
And then you're going to add a tackle right on top. You're going to add a defensive end on top of the tight end.
Okay, boom. Got it.
On the backside, you're going to put a tackle on the outside shoulder of the defensive lineman.
Okay.
And then you're going to put a end on the outside shoulder of the tackle.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right.
I got it.
So you look at that stance and then just put your Mike and Will kind of just in the middle. We're not really worried about them.
Okay. So I'm going to put two linebackers right in the middle over the center kind of in
all
that
right.
area. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
So on the front side, this is just a very standard defensive front for a 4-2.
Right.
Sometimes you'll have it as a shade, maybe a little bit closer to the center for the defensive tackle. But this is kind of what you're going to see, especially if you have a tight end. There's sometimes that you'd be able to add an in over top of that tackle on the outside of the tackle.
Right.
And then have that strong safety come up and act as reinforcement.
Okay.
So I want you to add one more thing now.
All right.
I want you to add a Sam linebacker right by the tight end.
Got it. Okay. So now there's a Sam linebacker. That's what I look. Okay, cool. That's what I've got. All right. Gotcha. Okay. We look similar now.
Yes. So when looking at this, so I'm looking at this from a center perspective. So let's say we are running Braves even. So
okay.
we're going to go an inside run play. So you've got your, for the center, I identified my mic. I'm going to call a Ray to the front side, and so that's going to be a combination block with the guard and center, take it up to the Mike linebacker.
Okay.
Then I'm going to do a tackle.
The strong side?
Huh?
We're going strong side with this?
Tanner, I love you, man. I love you. I appreciate this. Yes, on the strong side.
Strong side, okay.
Play side. And then you're going to have your guard, your tackle, and your tight end do a tag with the defensive end and the Sam.
Okay.
Now, you look at the lineup on this. That Sam is creeped up.
Yeah.
So what naturally do we say if a Sam is kind of creeped up to the line of scrimmage?
Someone's going to take him. Someone's going to pick him up.
Someone's going to pick him up, but also there's probably going to be a stunt that's going to be coming as well.
Right, okay.
He is coming in to play support. So if you've got a defensive end that's kind of head up on that tight end, one of two things he's thinking. He's thinking either I'm going to go and play this tight end head up, And still play staying home and keeping outside leverage.
Right.
Or he knows that tight end may release for a pass.
Aha.
Now, if that's already that responsibility and the Sam linebacker's coming up and he's on the line, That's telling you everything you need to know right there. That there's probably going to be a stunt inside. So okay. You know that defensive end that's right on top of that tight end is going to come inside, so that tackle's got to be ready. Now, you look at both of the guards. You look at both of the guards, and let's say now those tackles are now overhead. They are overhead of their guards.
So they're straight up. They're not shading at all. Helmet on helmet.
Helmet on helmet.
Let's go.
That's a two technique.
Yeah.
Twins. So what do you think is about ready to happen with twins?
Great question.
Twins, usually when you've got two defensive linemen that are head up on the guards.
Are they going to swap places maybe? They're going to stunt?
That's telling you that there's a stunt on both sides.
Oh, that's not good.
It's that whole premise of cheating.
Yeah.
Because just like with the linebacker, that linebacker knows he's not strong. He's not as quick as a secondary guy.
Right.
So he's got to get a head start. Same thing with a 320-pound defensive lineman. He's got to get a little bit of a head start.
Right. So he's not moving over. He's already moved when the play starts.
So we've got heads twins on your guards.
Okay.
Now you're looking, and it's like, all right, now let's look at the stance. So a defensive lineman's stance is probably going to be a little bit wider than shoulder width apart usually.
Right.
Either shoulder width apart or right, maybe a little bit outside of hip apart. And you're also looking at the hands. So it's a cliche in football. Cliche. Of when you put pressure down on your hand, that your hand starts turning white.
Yes.
That's going to be a key element of like, okay, he's about ready.
He's ready to move.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's going to bull rush. He's going to bull rush, go straight forward. If there's not a lot of pressure on his hand, and also just looking at the bend of the fingers.
He's going somewhere else.
He's probably going to be the looper.
Yeah.
So, looper. So, now we go into this element. Now you have... If he's going to loop, that means the defensive end is going to be the penetrator. Save that for the mixtape. But he's going, that defensive end's sole responsibility is to go to that right, to the guard's hip and hit his hip as hard as he can. Because as an offensive lineman, when you kick set and as soon as you realize that he stutters, at that point, you've got to go into acceleration to be able to get two more kick sets back to stop that defensive end. If you've got a really good tackle right there on that end, he's going to recognize it. So instead of even going into a kick set, he's going to post set. So that post set is being able to take his inside foot, post it up, and work him up. So it's just a post, 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 and then he's going to ride that defensive end right to the guard. That's where you've got that kind of bump call that we talked about last week.
Yes.
So... He takes a little stutter step, honor the outside. That defensive end comes crashing inside. That's where he is screaming, bump, 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 bump. That way the guard knows that something's coming. That tells him to accelerate backwards, ignore this defensive lineman, defensive tackle.
Okay.
And then that tackle is going to hand deliver that end with all the momentum to him.
Yeah, he's going to basically swing him around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hands him right to him. Guard takes him. Now, we've got a 320-pound looper that's getting momentum. So he's running. So that tackle then, as soon as he gets to that guard's hip, is now kick setting. Kick set, kick set, kick set. And he's just looking. Because that defensive lineman...
He's on his way.
He could crash back inside. He may try to penetrate to the outside, but he's also slow.
Yeah.
So what is a defensive lineman when he's trying to loop? Is he going to be a threat as a rushing end?
No.
No.
No, absolutely not.
What's a defensive lineman's go-to thing? When
it crash and cause havoc.
Crash, cause havoc, and bull rush.
Yeah.
Bull rush. So what you want to do, you see a defensive lineman bull rushing. You keep that head back. You arch that back. You sink those hips. And you're kick setting. Post set up. You get right to the center of him. And as soon as he's about ready to make contact, you get his chest plate first. And yes, offensive linemen hold
every single play. Yeah.
So if you get a hold of that chest plate, it's never going to get called.
Nope.
So you get a hold of that plate.
Keep your hands inside.
Keep your hands inside, elbows in.
Yeah.
As soon as you get that initial boof, it stutters everything. All that momentum stalls. But if he's still a big boy, he's still going to have weight to be able to still push forward.
Sure.
That's where you go into a bunny hop. And it's one of the most secret offensive line skills in the playbook.
Okay, so what's the bunny hop?
So as soon as you feel that momentum, instead of just driving backwards and trying to just like stop him,
right,
or just hold firm to it, it's take that momentum, hop. Have that momentum, hop. and just keep hopping and extend them out.
And that way, you're extending them out and you don't run into the risk of tripping over your own feet.
Exactly.
If you're shuffling and moving your feet.
Now, but you've put yourself in a really bad situation right now, because now you're a little overextended now, because you hop, 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 your hands are fully extended out. So what's that defensive lineman's next move?
Cut your arms down.
He's going to cut your arms down, or he's going to try to pull from the back of your jersey and pull you down.
Right.
So what do you got to do? You got to run your legs. At that point, you go.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the natural thing would be is to lower your neck and try to keep him from pulling you.
Right.
It's like, no, go with the pull and run your legs. Run your legs back up. Then you're stuck in. He's stuck in the exact same position again. So that's how you stop the stunt.
There we go.
Now, the best part of all of it, is you've got a guard and tackle on the other side dealing with the other stunt.
Right.
Guess what that means? You've got the center that is wide open. The center doesn't have any responsibility.
He's no responsibility, because
right,
if you're clogged up with the pulling and the pulling tackle and the looping tackle and the crashing defensive end, then the center is so what's the center doing here?
So the center right now is your enforcer. So that's the dude, because as an offensive lineman, the number one thing you can do is strike fear into a defensive lineman to not be aggressive. And that is when there is an exposed rib cage, you go full tilt, face mask into that rib cage and hoping they're paying blood every single time.
Damn.
You just turn back and you're just looking. You're just acting like what's called a pinball. Just you're pinballing back and forth and you're waiting. Especially if you see a deep kind of just a almost like a black hole kind of force kind of just sucking in the entire play on one side, you know someone's about ready to loop. So at that point, you're launching at that point.
And you're trying to find the first exposed rib cage that you can see and delivering.
And decleat him.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Who is the best at doing that?
Oh, my gosh. Jake Linefsky. It's not even close.
Really?
Jake Linefsky. In 2010, 2011, that dude put dudes in body bags. Because he was such a, and it's weird as a center, but he was a guard mentality at center.
Yeah.
And that dude just had a nasty streak about him.
Because the guards are the nastiest dudes on the offensive line.
Most mentally unstable also.
Yeah.
Most mentally unstable.
Well, they're the ones in like the real like trenches of it. I mean, they're fighting with these massive defensive linemen almost every single play. It's
Godzilla and King Kong and King Ghidorah every day for the guards.
I just think of Bunchy Stallings and Logan Stenberg.
Oh, gosh,
I mean, those dudes were mean. Especially Logan Stenberg.
Logan Stenberg, Bunchy Stallings, Larry Warford.
Larry Warford's
Luke
a good one.
Fortner when he was at guard.
Yeah.
Nick Haynes, Ramsey Myers. I mean, you had Zach West. I mean, you had some dogs at guard that just had a nasty streak about them.
Yeah.
But so when you've got a guy, when you've got an opportunity, especially as a center, to be able to help a guy out like that, so what happens the next time when a defensive lineman decides to loop? He's not going to go full speed.
Now he's looking.
He's making sure that there's someone not there that's about ready to just blindside him.
Dude, that was awesome. That got the juices flowing. I was looking for a looping defensive tackle. Like, where's he coming from? This was awesome. That fantastic. So who out of all the teams you played, who would run those types of stunts better than anybody else? There's one team that's who?
Georgia was great at those stunts. Louisville really didn't run them, but it was because of that style of defense they ran while I was there.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, Missouri. When Michael Sam and Sam Ray were there, they were a very potent duo because they were so, as defensive ends, they were so fast.
Yeah.
That it wasn't an issue of them just kind of like knocking off base. It was, they were so quick, they get to your hip so quick that it was really, you were just stuck at that point. And the only thing you could do as a guard, because there was a few times that they would pin my hip, and the only move that you can make that could save the tackle is basically you just take your elbow and your forearm, you get them right in the back and just push their momentum down, but he's eating you up at that point.
Right.
And you're just,
so he's taking you out of the
and
play.
You're praying that tackle doesn't get caught with his hands, like still trying to to block, and then he gets torqued down. Because if he does, then you've got a flag that's coming in, because obviously there's going to be a very pulled jersey yeah. that's going to be holding.
Yeah.
And then, but that 2013-2014 defensive lines for Missouri were experts at
they
that.
Had really good front. That is a really good front seven.
Yes,
they
it
had.
Was.
Yeah, it was really good. Me and some guys on that front seven that played in the NFL. All right, let's read some text here. Then we'll take a break. Texter, beautiful production and delivery of educational material. Clap, clap, clap. There we go. Texter, I played strong safety in college and often had to pick up tight ends or handle pulling guards. Tough spot.
Yes. Thoughts and prayers to you, man.
Yeah. Texter, stop this nonsense. You lost me after about 30 seconds. This is way too complicated for radio. We can't see your little piece of paper, you moron. Well, he said get your own piece of paper.
I told you,
moron.
Get a piece of paper.
He said get a piece of paper out and do this. Jeez Louise. Sorry it's too complicated for you. Apologies. Wow, very cerebral.
Do we need to go back to who played tennis?
Yeah. we know who played cricket in college.
Speaking of which, U.S. cricket's doing fantastic.
It really is. They beat Pakistan.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell?
I just love, as Americans, we just took the other thing that the entire world had.
Right.
I want us to put in, like, bring out, like, MLB players and just be like, dude, just hit it out of the park.
Let's go.
That'd
yeah.
be great.
We also got to, like, the second round because one of our games got rained out. If you ever need cricket knowledge, just tune into the V Show. Bob has it all.
Really? Bob knows cricket?
He follows. Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Rajasthan Royals are his favorite team, and he.
Why is that not surprising?
I'm not surprised at
me?
All.
No,
yeah.
I no joke, almost bought a jersey because he got me fired up for that team. I was like, "That all right? This is my favorite player. I'm going to buy his jersey."
Yeah,
and they're pretty cheap.
Yeah, I would imagine the cricket jerseys aren't too expensive. All right, let's take a break on the other end. We'll talk a little more. We'll talk some more football here. One of the things that I wanted to bring up on Monday, we didn't have time. Phil still has 9 cats on his watch list. Open line for the Governor's Cup is already out there. We'll talk about that. How's DeBoer doing recruiting at Bama? Plus, we got to get to Chuck Schumer's Grill. Les Miles suing LSU and more here on the Roundtable. Table. My friends over at 502 Hemp and A12 Hemp want you to stop buying the THC Delta 8, Delta 9 products at gas stations, places like that, because you just don't know where that's coming from. It's in that lockbox. You all know what I'm talking about. It looks kind of sketchy in the first place. Go somewhere where you know that the people that work at the store know everything there is about that product inside and out. All the ingredients, how it affects you, all the side effects, any if there are any at all, they know it all at 502 Hemp at 812 Hemp. Go check them out at the 502 Hemp location at the Douglas Loop area right there by Oxford More Mall. And if you're on my neck of the woods over the bridge, go to the Clarksville store for 812 Hemp off of Lewis and Clark Parkway, right by Kroger and Court Physical Therapy, 502hemp.com.